didn't ask you why. What could I say? I was far away. He just walked away. And I just watched you.
One here, a drunken Z over here, whatever. This is another episode of Throwback Tuesday, episode 24. Look at that, I remember it this time.
Good job.
Because I know I fucked that up, man.
No, you were fucking up the number. You kept saying Halloween 2, Halloween 2.
I kept thinking that was the number. Because I kept seeing that 2 symbol. I was just like, 2. I was like, God damn, fuck. All right, retake.
That was funny.
It took me fucking 5 times, whatever, but whatever, man. Hey, this is Throwback Tuesday. Well, Richard already said that. I'll be hosting Phenomenal on MoviesPoilersPodcast.com.
This is Z, the fancritic.com.
I don't know about you, man, but Vegas kicked my ass, dude. I feel weak as fuck.
I never heard anybody put it like they're weak going to Vegas, but...
Man, after a week of spending down there or whatever, like, when I tried to go to bed... And, you know, you got these big-ass hotel windows, especially when you're staying in the Trump Towers and shit like that. You got these big-ass windows and shit. And the motherfucker lights don't ever, because nothing closes out there or whatever. Nope. So you just like, why am I in bed right now? I'm not even tired. I'm going to get up and go get me something to drink or whatever and go party or whatever. And then you realize the next morning when your eyes are bloodshot red and shit, you're like, man, I should have went to sleep.
I absolutely loved Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, man, that place fucked me up, man. Plus, when you were in that money, baby, give me,
Where'd you stay?
Stayed at Trump Towers.
Okay, I stayed at Golden Nugget.
Golden Nugget,
The old strip. The old strip.
But Golden Nugget was huge back. I remember back when I was a child, we used to stay there a lot, too.
Yeah, that was, I think, the number one casino in Vegas at the time.
Yeah.
Before the new strip, so...
Yeah, before the new strip and all that shit, whatever. But yeah, man, oh my God, man. That is truly, definitely a party city because, goddamn, man. Please don't look up on YouTube. You might see some incriminating videos.
Yeah. I love Vegas, and hopefully I can go back in January. Ha
ha. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, all many big titty women's, whatever. I was like, ass. You should see me. You would have lost my ass, whatever. I was losing control. I was like,
Did you see any, like, ugly guys with, like, hot girls?
No. It's the first time I've ever not seen that, either. I was like, wow, pretty people are dating pretty people. It all makes sense down here to me. I saw a lot of gay guys. A lot of gay guys hitting on my ass, too, whatever. That was funny, whatever. I was like, I'm not that drunk yet, man.
give me a few more, and I'll be with you.
Oh, my God. Oh, and I had the best waitress ever, or whatever. The best waitress ever. Oh, my God. You would have thought she was a freaking Nubian princess or something. I had an awesome time, but God damn, did it wear my black ass out. Jesus Christ. By the time I got on the plane, I was just like, because I literally just got back like 2 hours ago.
Vegas is amazing.
Yeah, it was something or whatever. I mean, this is the first time I ever did some work and then realized, oh, I'm finished for the rest of the week. Yay. Now it's partying time in Vegas, and I mean, I spent a shitload of money, but at the same time, you know what I noticed too? Shit is not expensive out there either.
No, it's pretty reasonable priced.
Well, you gotta remember, I live in LA, so anything is different.
It's true.
So what I mean, because I could say I had a whole meal. I had like 5 carne asada tacos, rice, beans, and salad, and like 3. 2 mojitos and 1 Long Island iced tea, and I think I must have spent like, that was like $23-$25 right there. I was like, wow. In LA, that's just for the drinks.
Well, in Vegas, you could just go to a buffet and spend, what, $15 for all you can eat or something.
$6.99, my friend.
Well, it depends on what casino you go to, too. I went to Luxor, and that was amazing buffet.
Oh, and then you get to go to the shows and shit like that too, whatever, which I've never done in Vegas. I mean, I recently just went to Vegas like 2 months ago, whatever, but I didn't get to do anything much over there. I was usually hanging out with Janae, but this time, I went to shows and shit like that, or whatever. Went to the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was on the old strip, and a lot more shit goes on in the newer one, but the old one's, it's classic, you know, there's a lot of memorable shit down there. Binion's is over there, which is one of a famous casino. Golden Nugget's famous, and there's a strip club right there. I like hopped in there for a minute. The girl giving me a lap dance was from Ohio too, which is weird.
You know what? I met a lot of people from Ohio down there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I met a lot of people. Even my plane ride back here, whatever. There was two people I was talking to. We were talking about a lot, whatever. Right? Probably might take them out to dinner when they come back out here. But yeah, they were from Ohio and. They were all under my age, whatever, and they were telling me what they do, and I, for a living, I was telling them what I do, whatever, and they're like, oh my god, we definitely need to start working. I was like, yes, we do, indeed, whatever. Plus, your wife is kind of hot, so, you know.
Did you tell them to vote for you for the podcast award?
Oh, don't worry, that got in there, too. Oh, shit. Dude, I ran out of Phenomenal One business cards, or whatever.
Were you on the corner with the Mexicans flapping your cards?
No, I had like a big sandwich board set over me, and I was like, hey, vote for us, motherfucker! Every party I went into, whatever, people was just like, hey, sir, how you going? I just flipped them a card and was like, I'm doing pretty fine, actually, like this. Here you go.
Were you making it rain?
Yeah, exactly, because on these ones, I got like a go to podcast, I wrote like go to podcast awards on them and then vote or whatever and shit like that. So, I mean, I ran out of motherfuckers, whatever.
Well, looks like you got the Vegas city covered. Compared to the other ones.
Exactly. I got Vegas covered. Like, they didn't even know what it was or whatever, so I reassured them what it was, and that I was the only one that should win or whatever, because I told them some shit.
Don't give all your secrets.
I was like, yeah, our if we win, our funds are going to the cancer patients of America. That's not funny. That's
not no.
It's going to the starving children in Ethiopia.
They're all gonna get a double cheeseburger from McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. And you know what? If we win twice, might even step their game up to Wendy's. Get them a bacon burger.
You want to give them a heart attack? Jesus.
Hey, I didn't say a double. I just said one. Just said one. They only get one.
You can just get them a 20-piece nugget. They can share.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can get. Don't they got like a 100-piece nugget now? Some shit like that.
They you can buy like I think they have a deal for like a 50-piece nugget. So it's just 2 20s and a 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so you can just get them that whatever, and then bam, they'd be fucking straight over. You know, I get them alive. Yeah, you know, you'd imagine all the animals down there, they wouldn't be so starving.
I know. That's a good point. But they're too weak to hunt.
That's one thing, and plus I heard a lot of Americans, like the American government, kind of went down there and you know. Brought religion to them and shit like that.
So they're all vegetarians now.
I think South Park did an episode about that. Whatever, it was just like instead of like actually sending them food, they sent them like priests and shit like that. Whatever to help them get with God. I was like, oh my god.
I see South Park doing that.
Yeah, they did do that. It was a long episode ago. Whatever. I was like, oh wow. All right, well, if that's what's happening. Then fuck. Oh, people, we are here. Which is funny because coming back from Vegas, this fits so well because this was actually what was going on in Vegas too. An MMA movie at that too, an MMA fight was going on, whatever. Warrior, man. The most unappreciated film of the past decade.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when I first bought this on Blu-ray, three of the people that were working at the cashier was like, I wanted to see this, but I didn't really hear anything about it that much or whatever. And so I was just like, this is like, you should see it? I was like, fuck yeah, you should see it, shit.
I have a funny story. I went to see this, like, when it was in theaters, and I was working nights at the time, and I planned it out perfectly. I can see the movie, because that work was only, like, 5 minutes away, so I'm like, I can do it. But I didn't know the movie was this long, and I missed the entire last fight of the movie.
Oh, the first time you watched it?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And then when I got the DVD, I watched it. I'm like, okay, it was awesome.
That was a fucking awesome fight scene. I mean, this is probably... I said when I first saw this... I used to do MMA, so they never made a good MMA movie. But when I saw the trailer for this film, I was like, something is gravitating me that this is going to be good. And I saw the movie and nobody was in that theater. I was like, I bet this will be good. Because nobody's here. Nobody's here or whatever. But another thing was, too, is... I made a comparison saying this is our generation's Rocky.
That's what I think, too.
The thing about this, and the difference between this and Rocky, though, is people actually went to go see Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, they only made, the budget was 25, and just in the U.S., it might have, or maybe America, or maybe the international, too, is only 23 million. So, I mean, this is, at the time, MMA was booming. UFC was just booming, going crazy with Brock Lesnar, Silva, GSP, you know.
Pretty much all the guys that got forced into retirement now. So.
So this is an amazing movie. I completely agree that this is our generation's Rocky. But
it's just a shame that it didn't go off as good as Rocky did.
Was this nominated for anything at the awards?
No, because I remember when I saw the award. The only person that got nominated was Best Supporting Actor for Nick Nolte, and he didn't even win it.
No, and he was good. Tom Hardy, oh my God, was he fucking awesome.
I saw this movie, I was just like, I see why Nolan picked him as Bane now.
I think this got done before Batman even started, right? Because this seems like a movie that was filmed like a couple years ago, then just released, you know what I mean?
Only the casting was picked for that point or whatever, and I know a lot of people going like, Tom Hardy or whatever, I don't see them on there. And I saw this movie, I was just like, I see why he casted him now. I definitely said, this motherfucker is a beast, you better get out of his way.
Especially in the Grand Prix tournament, where he would look psychotic. Yeah, he was... Wow.
You know, I've always said this, whatever. I don't think I've ever said this on air, whatever. I've always talked to buddies of mine, whatever, and shit. I always thought he should have been Wolverine.
Hardy?
Yeah, because he's the size and the build. He's just as short as Wolverine.
And he has the charisma, too.
Yeah, and plus it's something about him that brings the sexiness to screen or whatever, which is what Wolverine used to do for the books or whatever. I was like, I always saw him as Wolverine. Never, I never saw Hugh Jackman. I was like, first of all, I mean, I know that Hugh Jackman is nowhere near the height or build of Wolverine or whatever, but I was like, fucking Tom Hardy is definitely, like, he has the facial features and everything of Wolverine. I was like, I do not see why he was not, I mean, he wasn't a big star as he was now, whatever, at the time, but, you know.
Hardy looks small.
Oh, yeah, he's really short. He's just like Wolverine. They really switched that up in those X-Men movies. Scott was supposed to be the tall one, and Wolverine's the short one. They kind of went the opposite on that direction, but whatever.
But this is an awesome movie, and it is a shame that it didn't get the... It got 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is great, and nobody really seen it. And because Tom Hardy, he was not who he is today.
And plus, nobody took MMA movies serious at the time, because, you know, there was a lot of shit, like, even... there was just a lot of MMA movies coming out at the time, but they were all, like, either fucking horrible, or, like, they were just made to, like, the cheesiest, most stupid...
Never Back Down?
Yeah, Never Back Down's one of them, whatever, and I think this was the first one that took it serious as an actual movie, whatever. It was kind of hard. Actually, towards the end, with Nick Nolte, it was kind of hard. It kind of touched my heart a little bit. See, I don't know about you, but...
It did. This is a very emotional movie. You got... Two guys, Hardy and Edgerton.
Two brothers, yeah.
Two brothers who the trailer gave it away. Do you remember the trailer?
Oh, yeah, I remember the trailer, but what I was saying in the trailer, I thought it was going to be like these two meet up and they were going to compete against each other and stuff like that, and they knew that, whatever, but they don't really find out that like each one's in the tournament until like halfway through the film.
No, I would say it's towards before the last fight.
Yeah. Remember they saw each other at the Spartan conference thing or whatever, but it was like for a quick second, and then they had that conversation at the beach or whatever, which is like the last 40 minutes, if that or whatever, and I was like, well damn, because I kept saying through the whole movie when I first saw it, I was like, well damn, are these two ever going to meet up or anything like that? And then when you see it or whatever, he was like, oh, they don't like each other that much either then or whatever, because I thought that from the trailer, I thought they got along or whatever. They just didn't like the father, and there was, like, family issues or something like that, and they were both fighting for something or whatever.
But do you think the reason why people didn't go see this is because Tom Hardy, he did a lot of movies, but he was never the star. Nobody knows who Joel Edgerton is. Nobody knew who he was. So, do you think it's because the cast was so small?
I don't think it had nothing to do with the cast. It's a sport alone.
Okay.
Like I said, Never Back Down just came out before that, and that fucking movie was pretty clean.
And because Dana White even said, who is like the godfather of UFC right now, he absolutely loved this movie.
Yeah, it's the only well-done fight movie that we've had as far as MMA. I mean, like I said, once again, all the MMA movies that came out before that was just pretty much...
And this
like
was a true MMA movie, too.
Oh, hell yeah. It was brutal. And they had probably, which I liked, but they had Kurt Angle in there, man.
And they had two UFC fighters at the time, Nate Marquardt and Anthony Rumble Johnson.
Man, did you see that clip of Kurt Angle plays a Russian guy? People, you know Kurt Angle. He was he's a wrestler or whatever. He played in 1996 Olympic gold medalist winner as well.
Won gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
Yeah, broken fucking neck right there, whatever. And they had him play a Russian guy in here who didn't talk. He just had this look in his eyes, whatever. Like, I like when Joe Legendary was about to fight him, and his trainer was like, don't look anywhere else. Keep looking him in the eye. And then when he came up that stairs, I was just like, oh my God, I want to look somewhere else right now.
Do you think this is his character was either based on, crap, I can't think of his name, Rocky IV character, or the UFC, the MMA fighter, Fedor?
I can see Fedor.
Yeah. You can see Fedor, because this is Fedor still never fought in the U.S.
There was a Russian. I remember when I used to do this shit or whatever. We used to, because I had a Brazilian teacher or whatever. So you know, we learned a lot of other cultures and shit. There was a guy in Russia that was like Kurt Angle. Whatever, he was undefeated. Nobody lasted around with him, whatever. Because that's what they were saying about Kurt Angle in this film. Like, nobody lasted around with him. He's undefeated. Nobody would. You step in the ring with him, you're pretty much done with or whatever. I mean, and there was a guy like in real life that was like this in Russia, or whatever. He retired undefeated and shit like that, whatever. So I'm assuming they were basing it off that guy. I can't remember his name though. People, you can look it up. But yeah, that guy was like a fucking beast or whatever. Like his grapples and takedowns and all that, whatever. His submissions were specials or whatever. And I saw a lot of that in Kurt Angle's character as well too. But they never said it, like, I never saw any behind the scenes, or and I got the Blu-ray. I never saw any behind the scenes saying like what these characters were based off of or any interviews or anything.
Because that's why I think Fedor or Vador or whatever fuck his name is, because he was probably the most prized you have, because he never lost. And he, like you said, he, for the other guy, that he never got, he could never get beat. And obviously his first fight in the U.S. he got beat. But yeah,
there's a lot of people like that in other countries or whatever. I mean, I looked at someone in the eyes where it was like, oh, I've never been beat in my country. Yeah, you come to this country, you get your ass beat though.
But did you, I would love to see Kurt Angle fight Tommy.
Yeah, I wanted to see that too, I'm not gonna lie. I wanted to see that
but
too.
But you knew you're gonna have the whole Mad Dog Grimes Tommy fight again.
Oh my God. That's I like how Mad Dog Grimes is just like, you ain't nothing to me, boy. You got lucky or whatever. And then he's like walking around the ring, whatever. That dude gets dropped in the first 5 seconds.
And I don't think this tournament, who it's called a Sparta tournament, and they should have said this is Sparta, like from 300, but they should have done that. But I don't think there's same rules in like this in UFC. But
well, I was gonna say, first of all, they didn't say this is Sparta because this is actually fucking serious, not like that goddamn 300 movie. And second of all, yeah, 300 is a fucking joke, whatever. It's nothing near as serious as this one. And second of all, when UFC first started in the tournaments and shit like that, they didn't have rules. There were no rules.
Is this when they had the 1 day tournament type thing?
Yeah, they didn't have no. Matter of fact, they would put you. I mean, they, at least they kept the rules of the weight division, or whatever. But back then, when they first started, there was no weight division.
Now, you are an MMA person. Do they consider middleweight the best fighters due to the fact that this was a middleweight tournament?
Middleweight and lightweight, light heavyweight.
That's what I was saying. I thought light heavyweight was considered the top division.
Yeah, it went, you know, it goes through trends. Whatever. I mean, it started off with, like, you know, the heavyweights were the big guys, whatever, but then they realized, like, there's some little guys that are beating the shit out of the bigger guys right now, whatever. So it's like, you know, people started losing weight to get to I think middleweight was the next one. I think right now, like, heavyweight is the division now.
Because, Anderson Silva got beat, so yeah, it is a light heavyweight right now with John Jones.
So every trend, if you will, whatever, it switches off to, you know, a different division. Whichever division has the most competition going on, whatever. It's like, you know, these people like to test themselves, whatever. And plus, if you've beaten everybody in that division, it's like, well, I've already done everything in here. Let me just either gain the weight or lose the weight and go fight in this division now. Let me fight this guy. I want to fight this guy, whatever. So.
Now, these other guys, like Mad Dog, and then these guys were like UFC fighters at the time, right? Participating in this tournament?
Oh, no, they were just like Kurt Angle's character was, whatever.
Okay, because they said, like, yeah, they said Mad Dog, when he got knocked out by Tommy the first time, that he was the number one contender. He was the number one contender in the middleweight division.
I guess that got dropped, huh?
Yeah.
You know the best thing about this movie, too, though, is I'm glad it didn't go the route that I thought it was from the trailer, whatever, where these two meet up and they were just going to compete each other, whatever. You see two different stories here, whatever, and you sympathize with both of them.
Yeah, you don't find out more. You find more about Brendan, who's played by Joel Edgerton's character, very early on. But Tommy's just a mystery throughout. And you don't find out what happens until the second night of the tournament. Because you find out he's a Marine.
Signed up before that, too, though.
Well, yeah, because he's talked to the Marine's ex-wife. Yeah, or
and then you put the story
widow.
Together. Yeah, because you've talked to the ex-Marine ex-wife, and you kind of get an idea of what's going on, because his father said, oh, you was in the Marine Corps and shit like that. So you kind of get an idea of what's going on with him, whatever, but you don't know the whole meat of it. Mm-hmm. And then when you find out the whole meat of it, you just kind of like, well, damn, I don't know who to root for now.
Yeah, it's very tough to root for, but I would say, Joel, Brendan was more of a likable character. Mm-hmm. Tommy was just nuts.
Because every time he beat somebody's ass, he just stormed out the cage.
How awesome was that? He's like, he broke a rule. I'm like, what rule is that? You have to have a post-fight conference all the time? No.
Because it was funny, because, like, you know, like, the referee's supposed to announce the winner, raise your hand, shit like that. It's Tommy, as soon as he didn't even wait for, like, the referee to counter, to say, like, he's out or anything like that. He would just, like, as soon as you on the ground and knocked you out, he'd believe. He'd be like, I know you're not getting up. He's like, I'm not gonna get up.
But that first fight in a tournament where he knocked him out in one punch.
It was funny because the announcer was talking so much shit. He's like, you know, to this Tommy guy, he's a one-hit wonder. He's a YouTube sensation. He's not going to do anything or whatever here or whatever. And then as soon as that bell rings, wham, I was just like, yeah, I guess that one YouTube sensation went out the window now.
Yeah, and then they were pretty much, Brendan was, I want to say an average fighter. Is that the best word to say at the time?
Yeah, because he was he used to be in the UFC, but he didn't really make it out to be or whatever.
I think they said his record, he was like a 500 fighter, maybe around that.
Mm-hmm. So he wasn't really that good. I mean, he pretty much was dropped out of the UFC because he wasn't, like you said, he was average or whatever.
I think they called him a feeder fish because he usually gets fed to the bigger
names. Announcer called him. He was like, he's just a feeder fish or whatever. And damn, did he shock the hell out of that when he made the dude tap out, though. I mean, honestly, when he beat Kurt Angle, I was already relieved. I was like, oh, he did it. Then I saw Tom Hardy walking outside. I was like, oh, damn. That dude did not catch a break that whole tournament, though. I was like, Jesus Christ, whatever.
No,
I
mean, but...
There was a great scene between him and Joel Edgerton, Nick Nolte, though, whatever, because, like, he's like, oh, you training Tommy. He's like, you always train Tommy, whatever, because you always thought he was better than me, whatever. And I was like, he's like, you never go for the underdog or anything like that. And I was like, wow, this is just great dialogue going on right now, whatever.
I love the end where, I think it might have been the last round when Nick Nolte showed up after...
Is that when the music kicked in?
When the music, yeah, and there's no dialogue, except Tommy, except Tommy when he was crying. That was the only dialogue there was. Because his shoulder was broke or it was popped out, one of those two.
Yeah, it was popped out.
But that was amazing.
Yeah, because all you hear is, like, Tommy yelling, and you hear Joel Edgerton talking, just tap, Tommy! And you hear that music playing around, and they kept shooting the scene of just Nick Nolte looking at it. I was just like, that is a beautifully shot... And all you hear is, like, fading in the background with the crowd and everything, and the announcers or whatever. You don't really hear it. It's almost as if they just zoomed in on these two people right here.
Yeah, it was very cool after Brendan made Tommy tap, which he was in a chokehold, right? Rear naked choke?
Yeah, it was a rear naked chokehold.
And then he tapped, and then he didn't care about the money. He just cared about Tommy. That was a very powerful scene, too.
Yeah, he broke his fucking arm in that Kimura lock, too. I was like, oh my god, yeah. If you switch that shit back far enough, whatever, you could pop your fucking shoulder out, whatever. I was like, oh! And I like Tommy, too, because he's just like, he's over here in this corner, he's just like opening, he's like, ugh. I was like, he's not even trying to feel the pain. And Jordan's just looking at him like, Tommy, what are you doing, man? And he's just like, come on! I was like, oh, that's a crazy motherfucker right there.
That's why I said he looked crazy. He looked like a caged animal in there. And I agree, because he bulked up for this, and that, you know, helped him for Dark Knight Rises. But, This was an awesome cast all around for everybody.
He had Wolverine all over him in this movie, dude. I'm telling you, that's exactly how Wolverine is. He's just like a caged animal, or whatever. He's never like calm and demeanor. He's always kind of got this aggressive attitude about him, whatever. I was like, yeah, I was like, this is definitely Wolverine right here. Oh man!
In your dream movie, it was Wolverine.
Yeah, my dream movie it was, whatever. my Tom Hardy, whatever.
I would say.
I gotta say, actually, in here, he looked more bulked up in this movie than he did in Dark Knight Rises.
Well, I think they did camera tricks to make him bigger.
Like, smaller in Dark Knight Rises. His neck didn't look as thick as it did.
He was bigger. He's supposed to be bigger than Batman.
Yeah.
But they camera tricks did that. But this dude was ripped. And I never seen Bronson, which I think was his bigger movie that people didn't see again.
Yeah, no, they saw it. It was his Outbreak film.
Was that an Outbreak? But he didn't do a lot of stuff. He was in Black Hawk Down and like, but you can never pick them out because you can't pick out anybody in Black Hawk Down. But
that sounds fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. But this cast all around was awesome, except I didn't really like Jennifer Morrison as the wife. She was all, she always, I mean, she's cute and all, but even in like in House, the TV show, she always looked like upset or like she was about to start crying every scene.
She had every right in this movie too. I mean, her husband is about to get in there with fucking Kay, like, cause he's telling her pretty much, oh, these guys just watch too much UFC.
And then she sees Koba.
She's at home watching this, cause Kurt Angle's character's name is Koba, and she's watching him, cause they're showing a video clip package of him just slapping people upside the head and power bombing people and just making them tap out and shit, whatever. And then he's like looking in the camera, screaming and shit. I'm just like,
I swear, if Kurt Angle didn't get into wrestling, he would have been an MMA fighter.
I heard something he wanted to, because I follow Kurt Angle a lot or whatever, because I'm actually a favorite fan of his shit or whatever when he won the Olympics and everything. But matter of fact, he was one of the reasons why I started doing MMA, if not or whatever. He did wanted to get into it, but he was like, oh, that career is pretty much gone, where especially at his age now and shit. Plus all the neck surgeries he's had. So.
Yeah, and he's sticking with wrestling, so.
I was like, it's probably for the best, dude, because he'd probably fucking get injured worse if you got into that or if anything.
He would probably die.
That gotta be amazing, though, whatever, because his technician in grappling is just, like, damn near perfect, if not.
I'm trying to think what weight class he would have been. He probably would have been light heavyweight.
I don't know how much he weighs. I think he's, like, what, 254?
237, I just looked.
Okay, then, yeah.
He probably would have dropped down light, because I think he's too small for heavyweight.
That's the thing, too. That's how he won the Olympics. He was, like, 100 pounds lighter than the guy he beat in the Olympics.
He beat that Russian guy that never surrendered a point, too, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And that guy was, like, 130 pounds more than him. Kurt Angle was really small when he won the Olympics. Where, like, I think he said he only weighed, like, 140 or 50 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
Kurt Angle. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
I mean, if no one's ever seen Kurt Angle wrestle or even wrestle in WWE, this guy, he's talented. I mean, you know, wrestling, it's wrestling, you know, it's scripted, but this guy is fucking talented. He can wrestle.
He used to wrestle, though, he used to do, like, videos of his training seminar, and that guy, like you said, he could fucking wrestle. Like, I thought it was actually kind of a shame for him to be in WWE, because I was just like, yeah, dude, you need to be somewhere where it's, like so scripted, because honestly, if on anything, you are the best in this business.
But he did make a very nice career for himself, though.
He did, I will give him that. He made a very nice career, whatever. He's the best in the world, or whatever. And I mean, he really is. He really can't go die and say he was the best wrestler ever.
Exactly. But, you know, the casting was very good. I mean, the director, he did Miracle.
Yeah.
So he does know how to make a dramatic sports movie.
Oh, man, it got so emotional, too, towards the end. Once you found out Tommy's story, and then him and Nick Nolte was trying to get that kindle fire that they had back together.
Whatever. He was trying to get it both, with both brothers, too.
Yeah, but it was more touching with Tommy's part, especially that scene in the casino where he was just like, he was like, why don't you take this or whatever, and take this fucking cup or whatever, and go stand outside. And he just threw it in his face and shit. I was just like,
Tommy, I'm really trying here.
You're trying?
Yeah, me, I'm trying.
Now? Where were you when it mattered? I needed this guy back when I was a kid. I don't need you now. You know, it's too late now. Everything has already happened. You and Brennan don't seem to understand that. Let me explain something to you, okay? The only thing that I have in common with Brendan Condon is that the pair of us, we have absolutely no use for you. Look at you. Yeah. I was right. I think I liked you better when you were a drunk. At least you had some balls there. Not like now, tiptoeing around as a beggar with your cup out. Take it somewhere else, tonight. In fact, you know what? Here's a cup. Why don't you take this and go get yourself some more of your shitty tapes, and you go back to the room and you listen to some more fish stories that no one gives a shit about. And get out of here. Get the fuck out of here! Come on.
Yeah, Nolte's name's Patty, and Patty Conlon in the movie was 1,000 days sober, which is about a little probably under 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was funny because he told him after he threw that cup, and he was like, "Yeah, I liked you better when you were drunk."
He said that, and like, he said at the beginning too when he was at home too.
Yeah, it sounded worse at the end. Like, he said, "I liked you better when you was drunk. At least you had a spine." Or something. I was like, "Jesus Christ!"
Yeah, I mean, the scenes with him and Tommy didn't put up with his shit at all. Except the time when he asked him to train him.
And Nick Nolte didn't put up with his shit at two or whatever when he took them pills and shit like that. Whatever. It's just Nick Nolte was trying to make it a little more perfect because he was trying to get his son back at the same time too.
Well, yeah, because there was Tommy left with his mom because Nick Nolte was a drunk, and he beat his wife. I don't know if he beat the kids. That was never brought up.
No, yeah.
But he, in that, when they watched that wrestling video, he said the controversial Patty Conlon. So obviously he has a history.
So he was a town drunk, if anything.
Yeah, and oh my God, when Tommy's at the house at the beginning of the movie, when he's talking about mom was calling God. But I guess she was down at the bar with all the other drunks.
So you found God, huh? That's awesome. See, mom kept calling out for him, but he wasn't around. I guess Jesus was down at the mill forgiving all the drunks, huh?
Oh my God.
Oh, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he was like, I guess God can come and save. He was too busy saving the local town drunks instead of saving the people who actually need. I was like, Jesus Christ!
That's why I liked Tom Hardy in this, because he was, even when he wasn't fighting, when he was talking, he was badass.
He was throwing some low blows in there. I was like, damn.
Even dude, when at the beach with Brendan, he's like, why are you showing, Brendan's showing him the kids. He goes, I don't know them. He goes, they're your nieces. He goes, why are you showing pictures I don't know?
You chose the old man and the girl.
She wasn't just some girl. I married her. She's my wife. See? That's Tess. That's Emily and Rosie. They ain't nieces, Tommy.
I don't know them.
No, you don't know them. Of course you don't know them.
So I'm gonna look for pictures of people I don't know.
So that's my family.
And who are you exactly?
I'm your brother, man.
You in the court?
What?
I said I know you in the court.
I wasn't in the court.
And you're no brother to me.
He's like, those are just people on a photo for me or whatever. I was like, God damn, dude. And then this is when Joel Edge, I thought, broke out too. He was just like, he's like, how the hell was I supposed to know if mom was sick? You didn't tell me. You didn't tell anybody. You kept that to yourself, whatever. He was like, you had no right. I was just like, man, these two are just delivering. And I was just like, because at first I was just like, oh, that's kind of fucked up, Joel. And then next, you know, when he said that, I was just like, yeah, that is kind of fucked up. He didn't tell you that or whatever. He was like, damn. He was like, that's my own mother, and you couldn't tell me that she was dying or anything like that or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, because, like, Tommy, he's like, stop trying to, he told Tommy pretty much, like, you need to stop acting like you're the victim here, too. At least you got to be around her. I didn't even know my own mother was dying or whatever, which I thought was, like, even more fun. I was like, damn, dude, that's even worse, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Edgar Till is a very good actor in this. I mean, he's actually he's in a lot of big movies lately now.
I thought he's very underappreciated in this movie.
You said Bronson was his breakout hit, but I don't think, I mean, that wasn't, was that released worldwide?
Yeah.
I mean, in theaters?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've only seen that on Netflix.
I see everything on Netflix, though. So.
Yes, true. But I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know that, even on the cover, it doesn't even look like him, so...
That's the thing about him too. None of the movies ever look like him. He always changed himself up a little bit or whatever. So
no, but this was the start. Bronson was a start. This pushed his career as a really good actor. That put him to Dark Knight, and then he's obviously gonna be in Mad Max coming up.
See, I disagree with that for the simple fact because nobody saw this movie. More people saw Bronson than this movie. So
well, more people saw Dark Knight combined. So.
I like what they did with the band in Dark Knight for the simple fact that, like, I couldn't tell that was Tom Hardy.
No.
That's probably the only compliment I could give.
I think the only time you saw it was Tom Hardy was in the flashback in the jail.
Yeah, that was it. Other than that, I didn't, because the whole voice change and the bald head and everything and the mask, I was just like, if they would have never said that Tom Hardy's playing band, I would have never guessed who that was.
They could have kept it quiet, too.
I wish they would have, honestly.
Could it be like, guess who the fuck this is, you know what I mean?
And just wait till the credits roll up and you'd be like, And it says Tom Hardy. Like, what? Get the fuck out. That was not Batman.
Exactly. I mean, they could have done that with Heath Ledger, too. But we're not talking about Batman. But, Nick Nolte
very
was...
Very emotional movie, though. Very, I mean, that beat scene, honestly, that was probably the winner of the whole emotional content of the film. Whatever. That really got me. I was just like, damn.
And the cool thing about Tommy, his character was a complete mystery throughout the whole movie until you find out what happened.
Yeah, that his only name.
Yeah, Tommy Reardon, which was his mom's name.
His mother's maiden name instead of his father's name. Once they found that out, it was like, oh, your ass about to get arrested.
And the only time he was, like, really, like, he, like, completely changed away from the badass was when he was on the phone. Mm-hmm. With,
Yeah, I mean, he was actually having a whole conversation. I'm just looking at that. I was like, there is more to this character or whatever. I was like, something big had to have happened or whatever in here or whatever. And find that out with the whole mother incident. And, I mean, that really must have hit him hard, too, whatever. I mean, especially being, I can't remember what age he said he was, but he was like just a kid pretty much.
I think Joel was the older one.
Yeah, Joel was the other one.
16, I guess he was 16 when they moved out.
Yeah, and Joel, reason why him and his brothers, Joel moved out with his wife now, which was his girlfriend at the time, because he wanted to get away from his father and shit like that. Yeah. His mother took Tom Hardy's character or whatever, and they just never stayed in contact or whatever. Even Joel, it was like you know where I live, right, and everything. You couldn't contact me or anything like that. I thought that beat scene stole it away from me. I was damn near almost about to hit a tear or something. I was just like, wow, that was amazing.
I mean, this whole movie is amazing. It just hits the dramatic turn. I mean, like, just like in Rocky. You had the training montage, like, you know, every movie like this would have.
Training montage was good in here, how they did the split screen, too.
Yeah, and they kept moving the boxes around.
Yeah, that was fucking amazing. I love the way they shot this film, and the cinematography, and it looked like it was, like, shot independently.
Yes, but actually, the studio, it's not a big name, but the Lionsgate distributed.
Yeah, Lionsgate distributed, and the studio is not really that huge of a name, whatever. But
no,
the way they
so
shot
this
it,
could been a, and this could have been an indie movie.
Damn near, might as well be.
Because the cinematography was amazing.
Nick Nolte wasn't in here; probably would have been.
Well, he was the biggest star in the movie.
I can't believe he was the only one that got nominated that year, because that was the year that Hugo and I want to say the artist maybe swept that Oscars, and I was like, oh, because Hugo won where Nick Nolte was, so I was like, that's such bullshit.
I'm looking it up, because I thought maybe it was in talks to be nominated, or it was a favorite to be nominated, but something beat it out. I think it was Warhorse that beat it out.
Oh, don't, you know what, don't look that up then, you ain't gonna break my heart right now, don't look that up.
But
right.
Christopher Plummer won the Best Supporting Actor.
Jesus. Over. Christ,
but
don't even look that up, because if Warhorse won't knock it out, then I'm pissed.
This should have been nominated for an award.
I personally think it should have been, it won. I think it should have won.
I never seen Artist, but I seen Moneyball. This is a top movie of 2011.
Oh yeah, it was definitely up there. I was like, when I saw this, I was just like, how come I'll say this is the most underappreciated film of the decade, if not. It's everything in it, from the style, the way it's shot, the acting in it, the characters in it, the drama, the tension, everything. I was like, everything here was just done perfectly, whatever. Even the action, man, the action was badass.
Yeah, it really looked like they were really hitting each other.
I mean, the way, it was funny, because when Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy's character fought, fuck, that brother shit was thrown out the goddamn window, because when he was, the way he was throwing Joel Edgerton, I was like, goddamn, dude.
Yeah, I mean, even Kurt Angle, when he fought Edgerton, that was a badass of a fight, too.
Oh, man, did you not think that was a death threat?
It was.
And then his coach gave him that speech, whatever. He's like, don't you want to win or whatever? He's like, look here, if you don't win, I thought it was kind of a low blow. He's just like, you ain't gonna have no home. You see that wife over there, whatever. I was just like, damn, dude. And he kind of motivated Joel, and he's like, I'm not tapping out, whatever, because they were all making all fun of Joel Edgerton, saying you're gonna tap out like first 5 minutes of this whole round and shit like that, whatever. And Joel Edgerton was the first guy to last over a round with him, and they were just like, why don't he just give up now? He should feel honored he lasted a round with him and everything.
Yeah, well, the Sparta tournament, 16 fighters. $5 million to the winner, so it's a winner-take-all. Brendan, Joel Edgerton's character, doing it because he's going to be foreclosed. He refuses to file bankruptcy. He got suspended from being a physics teacher because he was doing fights in a strip club parking lot. He needs some money. His daughter had heart surgery.
She had heart surgery.
She had heart surgery.
Spent all the money on that. So.
And then... He just wanted
his new daughter too. His new well, I guess not a newborn no more, but at the time she was a newborn or whatever. So
yeah, he needs some money to save his house. His wife, I think, was just a bartender. I think, I'm not sure what her job was.
Yeah, they never say what her job was, but I'm gonna go with you and say it was probably a bartender.
And he was lying, saying he was a bouncer at clubs, but obviously he was fighting the whole time.
Especially when they said he was like I went there to apply and it was only $9 an hour or whatever, and I saw this fight thing or whatever, and I made more than that, made $5. And I was like, yeah, I guess that does make most sense. That's it.
Yeah, and he trained with his old trainer to do all these fights to win it, just to stay afloat. Because, you know, he got suspended, he's not making any money, and obviously what she's making, not to support the house, but... And then Tommy was going to win the tournament to give all the money to his best friend from Iraq, who died.
His brother, if you will.
His brother, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they call it. He's a Marine Corps that he was teamed up with, whatever. He was killed. KIA, killed in action. And he was best friends with him, so he wanted to support the family and the two kids they had.
Mm-hmm.
So very emotional and touching story where you both wanted to see succeeded, and at the time it was just like, yeah, I like movies like that when you can't declare a dominant winner of who you want to win or whatever.
Yeah.
It makes the movie much more hard.
I think Edgerton's character, I think, hit home for Moore, because that's probably most common compared to Tommy's.
Yeah. Well, I think more towards the end it hit with Tommy too, whatever, once you found out what he did and shit, and you kind of like... Oh, man.
Yeah, because the fans didn't know who to think, because he's fighting this UFC guy, you know, in the very first fight, and he knocks him out with one punch and just leaves. People are like, what the fuck was that? And then he knocks out the Dane, I guess his name was.
That conversation he had, though, with the wife or whatever, when he was just like, I made that promise to you, and I was kidding. That was where really, I was like, I kind of want this guy to win, too, whatever. I mean, that's got to be hard to make a promise like that for someone if you've known for this many years or whatever, and you promised that you was going to help them out and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost the same situation with them struggling just as much as Joel Edgerton's character's family was. Whatever.
Yeah, and but why was he gonna be arrested?
Oh, because remember, he went AWOL on the...
After his friend got killed.
Yeah, he just left. He just...
So that's why he's arrested for it, because he was AROC, because he went AWOL?
Yeah, you can get arrested for shit like that. You just don't get up and leave.
Okay. Well, I think what the wife was saying in that interview, that I guess they're raving the flags to prove they're Americans, and American bombed where they're at.
Yeah,
and everyone died except Tommy.
Yeah, everyone died.
Because he was a hero, because he also saved some other soldiers when he pulled a tank door off a tank.
Yeah.
The one announcer's like, well, the tank doesn't hit back, and he goes, he pulled a door off a tank.
I like the announcers in this movie, too, whatever. I love the back-and-forth banter they just had, whatever. I was like, that's some good commentating right there, though. Mm-hmm. I was like, I like that, whatever. You got the one asshole on one guy, and the one common guy, and then you got to switch back and forth.
I kind of wish if they could have used Mike Goldberg and Joe Rogan from UFC.
Nah, that's okay.
I mean, it would have been cool if they would have added them.
You know why I don't want that? Because they had his ass last year, and Here Comes the Boom, and that movie fucking sucked, so that's why I didn't want that shit. So no.
That's another UFC movie.
No, fucking thank you. So,
but, it's like you're totally...
They were commentaries in UFC, too, before Joe Rogan came along.
Oh, okay, were they? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, you're actually right. But you have two emotional stories that you don't really know who to root for, but I think with Edgerton's character, I think that hit home more than anything else.
Yeah, especially because he was the underdog, you know?
Yeah, he was an average fighter. He pretty much took a spot because the guy tore his ACL, I believe.
And he was better than that guy. I mean,
he made him tap out.
Yeah, and he was beating him in racing and shit like that. I was like, yeah, he's gotten much better than this guy that they were training for this tournament. I was like, it just seems like a no-win thing, whatever, just to pick Joel Edgerton at this point.
Yeah, and then... But everything, you know, you knew what was coming about. You found out they're brothers. The trailer gave it away, and I wish they would not have done that. Because I think...
The trailer didn't give away that badly. You make it sound...
But they do say they do fight. They didn't say it was in the finals. They said they do fight.
I mean, you were going to find out they were brothers in the fucking first 5 minutes of the film, honestly. So it
But the trailer said they fight, too, in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gave it away, that they fight.
They don't give it away. I mean, you knew they were going to fight at one point, whether or not it was going to happen. I was like, especially when you hear their stories, it's like, come on now. It's like a formula of movies. Whatever. You know they were going to fight. whether this trailer would have said it or not. By the time you found out that both of them were in that tournament, you already know automatically these two are going to end up fighting each other somehow in the finals.
It was, and it was emotional because that's where, you know, right before the fight, that's where all this stuff about who they find out who Tommy was, who he really was.
That's when that beach scene comes.
Yeah, and then that was, I think, the second day is that's when the Marine Corps is singing him to the cage.
Which that's was when Tommy started acknowledging the fans and everything, then, too.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and it's just a very powerful movie.
Yeah, I can see why people go more Joel Edgerton. It's just way too, whatever it is, because, man, people was just giving him shit. He's not going to do it. He's just a teacher. What can he do, whatever, and shit. And he beat Koba. I was like, why? Because everybody was like, oh, he might as well just throw in the towel right now, whatever. Koba's going to fucking murder this guy. He not only went 3 rounds with him, but he made him tap out, too. I was like, yeah, that's got to be.
I think that was a knee lock.
Yeah, he hit him in a knee lock, too.
Yeah.
A Sambo champion beat him in a knee lock. I was like, wow, yeah, that is pretty fucking, that's pretty impressive right there, though.
You want to tell what people Sambo is?
Oh, Sambo is a Russian-style format or whatever that uses their
submissions.
Yeah, they use their knees a lot, too, because that's how they get grab their weight balance and shit like that, whatever. I mean, their knees come in up attacking a lot or whatever. So, you know, that was pretty goddamn impressive, to be honest.
Yeah, and the thing, I think when Edgerton told Nolte, that he goes, you always favored Tommy. Because Tommy had this plan to beat this Greek fighter.
Yeah, it's pretty much what you said earlier, or whatever. Joel Edgerton was always just that average fighter, and Tommy was the one that was just the dominant one.
Because they said he was a freshman. This has to have been in high school because it wasn't college. He never surrendered a point throughout his whole year, and he won a state title as a freshman. That's amazing in itself, right there.
That's fucking amazing. And Joel Edgerton was pretty much saying, yeah, you never stuck with me or trained me or anything like that. You always went to Tommy's side because he was just already a winner. You never did anything with me, whatever. So there was where that resentment came into.
Yeah, so, you know, Tommy was always favored, and, you know, he went away with his mom, and he still didn't show the favoritism to Joel when he was still there for the time, before he moved in with his girlfriend.
Yeah, girlfriend at the time, which now is his wife or whatever and shit like that. I mean, that was a very good movie, though. I mean, I'm already getting ratings right now. Once again, it's the most unappreciated film of the... you know, would you even say this is better than Rocky?
I would say yes, because Rocky, you're rooting for Rocky to win, and he loses.
Yeah. This, <take that bitch.
laughs> this one, you got two guys to root for.
Yeah.
And I think the right guy won. Do you say that the right guy won?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you know what? They both can be winners at this, too, because $5 million... He could easily give, like, half of that to Tommy if he wanted to. He's like, hey, man, do what you want to do, whatever. So,
yeah, and Tommy wasn't going to jail. He wasn't going to serve, like, you know, life sentence. He was probably going to get court. He was probably going to get dishonorable discharge.
I know you get I knew you probably get, like, 10 to 20 years, maybe, or whatever. So,
I think after what he did, you know, the court might have been a little lenient on him.
Yeah, maybe they will, whatever. I don't know how that shit works, whatever, because I've never known anybody to, you know, just get up and leave, whatever. So,
no.
I don't know how many years they said, but they will pin your ass a lot on that. But since they have footage and shit like that, and he has all the troops supporting him on that, whatever, I don't know. Maybe they went lenient on him.
And it could have been a media backlash, too, if you think about it. But
yeah, exactly, because he became so big in that fucking
scene. But you would think, though, that they would have arrested him right then on the spot, not until after the fight.
No, they waited after the fight. They was like, we want to see this shit.
You know what I mean, though?
You know what would have been funny, though, if you would have saw the commander that was supposed to arrest him, like, at the betting booth, talking about, put $500 on Tommy. You know what? That's why Tommy got arrested, because he lost.
Yeah.
He's like, you son of a bitch, I lost all my money on this. Well, you know, the thing was, too, they didn't arrest him, like, when the fight was over, neither. They let Joel Edgerton walk him out, whatever. I mean, they were right there, so, yeah, maybe
I think that was for the more camaraderie.
I was going to say, maybe the troops that were there to arrest him even respected him to the point where they would let him have that moment until it was time for him to go, whatever. Because they probably still took him, whatever, but like you said, they probably was lenient. They had to be lenient on him, because, I mean, look at the, like you said, the media and the fans and troops that are behind him, and he was a hero and everything. And they weren't lenient on him, then. Goddamn.
Do you think that Brendan, do you remember when I think it was after his second fight, when Patty was rooting for him, he goes, I'm going to win this? to right to his face. Do you think it was like he was doing it against him too?
Yeah.
To prove that he was the better.
Yeah, because I mean, we see in the movie. Hey, Patty never supported him or whatever. He always said, "Oh, you're just an underdog. You're never gonna do anything better." Everybody was against him in the movie. Even his own wife and trainer was too at one point.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like, oh, nobody's on his side saying, "Hey, you can do this," or whatever. And it got to a point after he won that first fight where everybody was saying he's gonna get creamed, and it looked like he was in the first round until he ran around. By the second fight came around, he just looked at him and was like, yeah, I got this. I'm going to win this or whatever. I got something to prove here. I think not only did he want to win that money just for his family, but he probably felt like he had something to prove to that whole audience.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why I think, I don't know if they ever reconciled with the dad. Because you saw that moment before the last round where Brennan's looking at Patty. And he kind of nods for it, and he kind of nods at him.
Yeah, I would imagine the dad just went away.
You think?
Yeah, he probably just like, you know what, I'm going to let them two have their moment right now, whatever, I'm not going to interfere with that.
Well, he tried so hard to...
He really did, I got to give him that, whatever.
And you don't really feel sorry for him after you find out everything that's happened?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't feel sorry for Patty at all.
No, I didn't either until the casino scene, where I was just like, alright, and then he went back to drinking and shit too, I was kind of like, alright, damn.
Listening to Moby Dick on tape. That's an old person for you right there.
I don't even know if his ass was drunk, honestly. I think that was really Nick Nolte.
Well, Nick Nolte does have a history of this, so.
No, but I'm giving it a high C, man. I really love this movie, whatever. It was, I couldn't wait for it to come on Blu-ray. I had to get this immediately, whatever. Like, this, like, once again, this is our generation's Rocky. Too bad, like, it ain't as popular as Rocky was, whatever. And I agree with you. At least somebody won the fight in this war. Goddamn Rocky. Look, you're the third person to tell me that in a week now, whatever. I'm just like, so disappointed.
Yeah, they really let you down.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I can do anything, just like Rocky. Yeah, I love how people keep mentioning that montage scene. Yeah, but it's like, you know, after that montage scene, he lost that fight, right? So it's like, I love Rocky. Whatever.
Was it a decision or was it a knockout?
I don't remember. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Yeah, neither have I. But I'm giving this a full bucket. This is an amazing movie that people have to see. I mean, it's probably worth a dollar at the video store to go see this now.
Would you put it in your top 10 of a decade, or?
Damn. Well, it's only 2011. I would say yes. I would say it's one of the best movies of 2011.
Definitely. If I had to make a top 10 list of 2000 all the way to now, whatever, it definitely would be in there somewhere.
That's 13 years, though.
Yeah, I know. I'd probably pick a movie for each year. And Warrior would be there, because I thought that was the best movie of that year.
I'm just trying to think of movies from 2011.
I Saw the Devil.
Damn. Damn, man. Moneyball.
This is better than Moneyball.
Yeah. I didn't really see a lot of the big movies in 2011, like Artists and stuff like that.
It's like X-Men, First Class, Thor, Captain America, Artists, Hugo, shit like that.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be. It was a really powerful movie. It's like you get what you want in a movie like this. You get one. You get two choices when you find out more of the story.
Yeah.
And yes, you don't find out about real Tommy's real motive until later. But finding out about the dad. You really want to root for at least one of them.
Yeah. It's really heartwarming. So, I mean, you never see a fighting movie like this, whatever, in this caliber of this sport, too, whatever. Just being so emotional and heartwarming, too, as well. I was like, I ain't gonna lie, there was times I was touched a little bit. I was like, wow, this is really hitting at home here, or whatever. I felt for all these characters in here at one point. Rather, I disagreed or didn't agree with them at the point. I sympathize with them.
Exactly. Your heart is for one of them.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you want in a movie like this.
Even if you wanted the other one to win, you still feel the same effects for the other one as well. I mean, I mean, like you said, I don't agree with Nick Nolte as well because of what he did to them, but at the same time, it got towards the end of the film where there were times where I just looked at him and I was like, man, I mean, he's really trying a lot. It's different than being in that experience as far as watching it. I mean, maybe if I was in Tommy's shoes too, I'd probably be doing the same thing, but for me watching it as a viewer or whatever, I was in my head, I was going, yeah, fuck that guy or whatever. And towards the end of the film, I was kind of like, cut him just a little slack. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm starting to feel bad for him at least.
Oh, you don't feel any slack for the dad at all. Tommy, when he goes upstairs to wake him up, he tells him, he's like, look what I found. It's like the poster of the chart and stuff. He goes, yeah. You can put that back where you found it. Leave the coffee in the pot. I can wake myself up. And like, I'm like, God damn.
Yeah. And then when Nick Nolte was really trying at the end, like the casino scene, that really, I did feel sorry for Nick Nolte, but I was just like, you know what, he does, yeah, I mean, honestly, he doesn't have to be here if he didn't want to, whatever. I mean, he really, you can see like, he's putting effort into it, whatever, and Tommy is just not showing any light of day, just give him any time, whatever, that's like, so.
No.
You do feel for people, even though you don't really probably agree with their motives at the beginning of the film, so
and that's,
it really was heartwarming.
And that's really a good thing when you get three characters that you really have a heart, you know, a passion for in a movie. I mean, it's the three main characters of the movie that, you know, you want them, at least they didn't go the corny route, they could have all embraced at the end, at least the brothers embraced. They couldn't forget.
I'm glad they left it like how it was with the dad and them, whatever. Cause the dad's still separate from them and stuff like that.
Exactly.
I love that ending shot.
Because it never. It just. At the beach scene, that's all you find out about the brothers. About what happened with them. I mean, throughout the movie, you find out more about the dad. About him being a massive drunk and beating his wife and stuff. And, you know.
Pretty much being the town drunk.
The town drunk, yeah.
That tape, it was fucking known.
Yeah. And. It's nice that at least the brothers embraced and at least they forgive each other. Because he even said Tommy wasn't going to tap. You know he was not going to lose that fight. Even with that dislocated shoulder for what, two rounds?
Yeah.
Yeah, you knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
but this is a movie that people have to see. And it's a fucking insult when movies like fucking Movie 43 makes more money than this.
Oh my God, that's true. Jesus Christ. That is so true, too.
Wow,
alright.
People, it only made, I just looked at it, like $16 million just in the U.S.
Yes.
That's a weekend for movies.
Yeah.
Or a day just for some
now,
movies.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking insult when trash, let's see, like, when trash movies, like right now, let's say, Escape Plan makes more money than this.
Oh my God. You know, the bigger insult to me was nobody saw it, because I was thinking like, oh, nobody's going to see it, but you know what, this is going to get a nod at the Oscars. It ain't get a goddamn thing at the Oscars. I was just like, you know what, this really is the insult. This has got to be the biggest insult of the year. Like, people was complaining about Ben Affleck didn't get nominated as Best Director here. Oh, he should have won. That's a travesty or whatever. It's like, yeah, well, Warrior didn't get fucking nominated in any fucking category as for the fucking awards or whatever. I was like, everything about it was so fucking good about it. I mean, even if it would have took some technical awards, I would have been at least happy about it, or nomination or something, whatever.
Technical, I'm not sure if it would have got anything, but at least editing, because... Or
the shots were pretty damn good. I like
the shots. Is that an award for cinematography?
Cinematography is,
Because the cinematography was awesome.
Yeah, really was.
But it's a kind of an insult. Even, one of these, Hardy or Edgerton, should at least been nominated.
Best male actor, I wouldn't care to anyone. Either one of them should have got nominated. You know what, they probably looked at it like, oh, it's just a fighting movie or whatever. It's a fight. You know how the Academy gets sometimes. Oh, it's a sci-fi movie. There really isn't nothing to this, whatever. It's no good acting or anything. Oh, it's a superhero movie, whatever. Oh, and plus, you know, that fucking artist, whatever. This is a homage to cinema, a black and white masterpiece. It's like, fuck that. That's just some rehashed bullshit or whatever that we saw back in the 80s, whatever. That was just an easy Oscar winner or whatever. It's like, get the hell up out of here, whatever. Warrior was 10 times better than that fucking movie, The Artist.
Yeah, I mean, it's... this is just...
Breaks your heart, I know.
It is, I mean...
Here, give me a hug. Come on. Get over here. Come on. You ever hug a black man before?
Yes.
You ever hug a short black guy then?
I think I gave you a hug when you were out here.
Yeah, we hugged a couple of times, whatever. I couldn't stop hugging you.
But I think maybe it's not because we both agreed that maybe this wasn't considered an indie movie. But I think it won something at Cannes.
Yeah, it won like I know it got nominated like the smaller awards and shit that nobody pays attention to, but it's like, yeah, whatever.
the McTeer's performance. I'm trying to look, see. Did it nominate for Golden Globe or any? That's Academy Award, the only thing it got nominated for?
Yeah, and that was only Nick Nolte.
It didn't even get
nominated Golden Globe or anything like that. It didn't get any of that. I'm telling you, it was the fucking Artist and Hugo that was the sweeping that year. Where I was just like, neither one of those movies touched this movie whatsoever. I mean, they're decent movies. Don't get me wrong or whatever. But,
well, come on. Do you think, because September's usually a throwaway month? Do you think the timing was just released wrong?
No, because we didn't see August movies before or whatever. That's the timing is never better in September or whatever. You got a lot. I mean, even this year or whatever, September is decent.
Because they usually say September is usually a throwaway because people take a break because after the huge summer movies.
No, they say January is a throwaway year.
January is a throwaway. I know January is a throwaway. That's why they always release those stupid devil movies, but...
Oh my god, there's like three coming out next year. It's like, Jesus Christ. You guys are just keeping a trend going with this shit, ain't you? It's like, we gotta put a devil movie out in January. Did Satan die in January or something? Like, is something to this.
And I asked you yesterday, are people getting sick with Marvel movies? Are people getting sick by devil movies? Jesus.
It's not that they're getting sick of devil movies, it's just that they suck. It's fucking horrible. It's like, because you know what? The devil movies over there, you're like, oh, this is going to be badass, whatever. Then you go watch it, and it's like, not a goddamn thing happened in this movie.
And you'd be like, shit. Devil Inside, where you have to go to a website to look, watch the ending?
And the fucking website just sold merchandise. That's a fucking blatant oh my god, you know what that pissed me off? Calling them slow-ass professionals, whatever. Jesus Christ, whatever. Hey, you ready to get in comments now?
Yeah, I love this movie. It's just making me pissed out how underappreciated it is.
Damn. So, back to our Mortal Kombat review. Mortal
Kombat! They said that Brendan's trainer's like, finish him.
Oh, damn, bro. Oh, by the way, one more thing. Brendan's trainer, I like that guy a lot. He was just like, look at me. That is not your brother. You don't hold back no more. If you don't beat him, you don't have a house to go to. I was just like, damn, talk about motivation.
He told him to break his arm.
Yeah, he was just like, I think I broke his arm. He was just like, good, I want you to break the other one. And I was like,
Since you talked about the trainer, he's in the next Captain America movie.
I know.
As Crossbones.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, it's all Beethoven and stuff, be like calm and breathe. And then he's like, break his fucking arm! I'm like, god damn!
Yeah, break his foot. Finish him! Finish him! Just take him out, whatever. I agree with him.
Tommy should have said, Tommy's like, flawless victory.
I agree with his fucking trainer too, whatever, because like, he's talking about, he's like, I think I broke his arm, whatever. I mean, he's been trying to break your arm this whole goddamn fight, though. So it's like, you need to protect yourself right about now, whatever, because I don't think he really gives a shit right now, so I went with the trainer on that 100%. Break his fucking arm, whatever. But, movie fucker here says, I bet you're looking at After Earth right now, people are saying, wow, the CG in this movie is right up there with Avatar after watching Mortal Kombat, aren't you? You should really show Mortal Kombat to Leihu so that he'll look on After Earth with great praise. Actually, movie fucker, you couldn't be more wrong, because I don't really give a shit about After Earth, and I don't remember necessarily talking so much about the CG effects in that movie, more about the story, which how much bullshit it was. So, movie fucker, you proved to be wrong once again.
I've never seen After Earth, good. But if the CG is bad in today's day and age, that's a fucking joke. Back in 97? I mean, Titanic was kind of... it didn't have the greatest effects.
No.
But it had a million-dollar budget, or probably a $100 million budget. Mortal Kombat, yes. What did we have? What did we say, 30?
Yeah, it was 30 million.
Yeah. That money was pissed. If you watch this movie, that money got pissed down.
Where the fuck did that money go to? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It could have gone to the actors, because they got no... They replaced the... Well, what's his fucking name?
Everybody. Except for Liu Kang and Katana. And
you cannot tell me that they're worth fucking $1 million. No one in this movie should have got paid $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember even the effects being bad in After Earth, to be honest. Because there really wasn't much going on where they were still on fucking Earth. It was just a jungle, so ain't really much. Ain't really much to talk about in that goddamn world, whatever. But yeah, Mortal Kombat, man. Oh my god. It was pretty much up there. I think Twilight got their effects from Mortal Kombat. I think, you know what? I can say, I think the effects in Power Rangers look better. That bone skeleton looked much better than Mataro did.
Mataro looked like it was like used with the paint program on every computer in the world.
Did you notice that they never got a full shot of Mataro? They only shot his upper body. The only time it was a full shot is when he was jumping down those rocks, and it looked fucking
horrible. And the fight scene, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so shit, that's a great point, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, Power Rangers had better effects. Wait, wasn't the budget on Power Rangers higher, too?
Oh, let me check.
No. They made more.
Yeah, they made more money, but...
I think the budget was, like, what, $15 million or something like that? Or may have been the same as this. I don't remember.
I hope it wasn't that. I hope it wasn't 30. Power Rangers budget was 15, so you're right.
Oh, okay. Well, damn. See, and that I really thought the effects was. I mean, the effects were like shit. Them robots were horrible, but that bone skeleton they saw in the jungle looked better than anything I saw in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it makes no sense where this budget went. Lionsgate or New Line Cinema fucked up on this one.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking in this one. I was just like, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Well, now they got plenty of time to think while they're working at Walmart because they're all out of a job.
What went wrong?
They look back, they own all their movies. What cost us to go bankrupt? Mortal Kombat.
Oh, shit. Well, hey, this is the studio fault, not our fault, whatever. No, it was your fault. That movie was bad.
And they greenlit like that shit.
I like how everyone came out and told us the movie was bad. It's like, yeah, we kind of knew that. Kind of knew that when we saw it. Next comment here comes from Jason. He says, is that George Clinton, the P-Funk master?
I already talked about.
You know who George Clinton is, right?
Yeah, Parliament Funkadelic, yeah.
Parliament Funkadelic. You know what, Jason? I'm just going to go ahead and say, yes, he was.
I'm confused.
Where am I at now? Oh, yeah. Next comment here.
No. Well, I'm confused.
Why are you confused?
Why is he talking about George Clinton?
Because he said, is that George Clinton, the P-Funk master?
Okay.
No, I mean, you just fucked up the joke now, whatever. Zeke, shut the fuck up and just like move on now, whatever. You fucked that up.
What's
now.
George Clinton doing Mortal Kombat?
Goddamn white people, I swear. Except for you, Jason. Well, Jason might be
black. What's George Clinton has to do with Mortal Kombat?
Okay, shut the fuck up, Zeke. You just.
You're not answering your question.
Because you don't fucking get it, that's why, whatever. Jesus Christ, whatever. You didn't fucking ruin that joke, whatever.
Okay, I'm going to your fucking page.
Yeah, just shut the fuck up now, alright? Just shut up and sit in the background now.
Okay.
Brandon says, yeah, this is definitely in my top 5 of worst video game films. What's your worst video game adaptation, guy? You always drag some shit out, Zeke. You know that?
Oh, from the music is George.
God damn, shit.
Maybe.
Damn, do your worst, fucking research.
Worst video game movie. I know Silent Hill is probably the best one.
Even that's kind of a backhanded compliment these days.
Well, video game movies are never great. Maybe Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, that could be one.
Street Fighter?
I think,
Need for Speed? I'm throwing that out. I'm throwing Need for Speed out there.
Max Payne kind of pissed me off a little. I was a fan of the game and I saw that movie and I was just like, what the fuck did this got to do with Max Payne?
That's Max Payne's a guilty pleasure of mine.
Oh my god, that movie had shit to do. That movie was about a simple revenge family. They didn't put angels and demons in that shit. That seems to be the trend with these video game movies now.
And drugs that made you think you're seeing a demon.
Yeah, fucking Mark Wahlberg was screaming every goddamn time. That backward shot, and then the ultimate insult, Ludacris, was that nigga was in a fedora hat and everything. The ultimate insult.
You just hate rappers in movies, don't you?
Because they can't fucking act or whatever. I'm with Samuel Jackson or whatever. It's an insult that rappers just get these roles or whatever.
LL Cool J is probably the best actor-rapper.
Mos Def to me.
Mos Def's a very good actor.
Because you wouldn't take... I never thought that guy would be, like, a comedic actor, because he always looks so serious and shit in his raps. But that guy could change his persona up so much. Like, he has different range.
Doom?
Oh my god, that was horrible, too. Jesus Christ, this is hard.
The only good thing about Doom is they actually did the first player thing. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Street Fighter... It's very hard. Games are horror. It's really hard. Like I said, Silent Hill is probably the best video game movie, but it's very hard. No video game movie is great.
Blood Rain was pretty fucking bad, too.
Well, look at the director.
Yeah, but yeah, it was pretty fucking bad. It was so fucking bad.
I'm going to throw
bad.
Need for Speed out there, because it's going to look like shit.
What was that?
Need for Speed, when it comes out next year.
That trailer looked okay.
We'll see what the final product, but...
I mean, you could do a lot with that damn thing. I saw that, I was like, yeah, well, whatever, they could do a story with it. I mean, the actors in here are pretty decent, so we'll see what they do with it, but...
You could say Resident Evil, since you hate Resident Evil.
What was that?
You hate Resident Evil, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going with, or...?
No, I'm probably gonna say Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers? Oh, man, this is a hard question. Who would've thought the most simplest question would be the hardest one? Because, like Z just said, they're all pretty fucking bad, but,
I do like me some Silent Hill, though. The first one, not the second one.
I was about to say, the second one was a piece of shit, whatever. God, I'm probably on the way with either Blood Rain, Mario Brothers, or... God, I can even throw this one in, because rewatching it, this is a fucking piece of shit, dude. It was horrible. I was like...
What about Prince of Persia?
I didn't really give a fuck about that game, so I don't even have any expectations of the movie. I mean, I thought the movie was more better than the fucking game was. I don't even like the movie that much, or the game was... Because I had that game. As a matter of fact, I still have the game. Whatever the game
Tekken, was, but, House, Double Dragon.
Yeah, Double Dragon.
Alone in the Dark, which I didn't know that was a game.
Yeah, you know, I'll just go with... I'll keep it simple. I'll just go with Blood Rain. Go with that one or whatever. I mean... I can't really remember these guys.
There's I think there's four sequels to that.
Yeah, there is.
And I think they're all sci-fi movies, too.
Mm-hmm. Fucking Mario Brothers. God, what the fuck was that, anyway?
That wasn't a Mario Brothers.
They don't make a movie out of that, first of all.
Well, at least they're going to make a movie out of it. They should have at least had, you know, Koopa Land. Not like a...
If you're going to do Mario Brothers, you really got to do that in a fantasy. I'm sorry, that should not be done in, like...
They could have done what Final Fantasy did with the computer. They could have done that with Mario Brothers.
Yeah, Mario Brothers set in today's time, whatever, that honestly wouldn't make any goddamn sense. That's what they were going
And I didn't mind who played Mario or Luigi, and I didn't mind Dennis Hopper as Koopa, either. But you're totally right, it's got to be a fantasy movie.
Yeah, it's like, can you imagine when these dudes with bright-ass overalls were running around? It's like, what the fuck?
That's like doing, like Legend of Zelda, if they did that now times with type shit like this.
Oh, you know they would. They'd probably put in some, like, time travel shit or whatever. Like, he would automatically just, like oh, he could travel back in time. He went through the future or whatever, and this happened or whatever. It's like, okay, yeah, alright.
But you know what the best, only one video game movie has hit over 100 million, that was Tomb Raider.
You know what? I forgot about Tomb Raider.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it either. I didn't think it was like... I know a lot of people thought it was god-awful, but I was like, yeah, the games really wasn't that good either, though.
I mean, we'll see if the rumored Assassin's Creed movie will change that.
Yeah.
With Michael Fassbender. Ooh.
Oh.
I know, we're both real excited on that one.
You know, one thing about the Assassin's Creed, that easily could be made into a good movie, especially with the time period they picked, too, whatever.
It depends what time. Are they going to use current time, or are they going back in time?
Well, they were saying that he was going to be Altair, so it was going to use the first one. Yeah, so I was like, okay, yeah, perfect. That time frame, I love that time frame. It was just interesting.
They can do a real good franchise on that, because there's so many Assassin's Creed. Like, he goes through time, like I said, what the video game's doing right now. They could do that with Assassin's Creed.
Personally, if they would just really want to make the film, whatever, I think they should just leave out all the extra stuff that Assassin's Creed give and just make it that assassin film of just him hunting down Templars in that film, whatever. To not go all over the place like in video game fanatics or whatever and add in the time traveling to complicate things, whatever.
So you don't want to add the whole stuff with them using the machine for him to go back to his
I want to see that, or whatever. Or like, or the whole thing of the apple and Eden and all the magic powers and shit. Like, cause I could see them if they just got a huge budget, just seeing going all over the fucking place on that shit. If they just keep it to a simple tone of just him hunting down Templars or whatever and shit, I think that could be a badass video game movie or whatever. Don't try to add all these sci-fi elements in there or whatever. So like, cause the game can be sometimes, if you really don't pay attention to the story, it can get complicated to some people that if you just jump into the game without playing one through whatever and shit, you just jump right in. You're like, what the fuck is going on?
I think Black Flag is what, the fifth one?
Let's see, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the sixth one.
Wow, six. Jesus Christ. And they're gonna really.
That happened quick, too. I mean, damn, we're only at the sixth one.
Assassin's Creed came out, what, 2008, right?
08 or 09, if I'm not mistaken. I'm a huge fan of the game. It's my favorite series.
I love the game. It's a fun ass. It's open world games are sweet like that.
Yeah, I love the time periods too. Whatever the assassins themselves, whatever the storyline of the mystery of it just intrigues me too, because I like putting mysteries together and shit like that. And so all that interests me. And I heard that Michael Fassbender is already signed on for it or whatever, and they had a director and stuff like that. If they're taking their much time with this or whatever, then you know what? Hopefully it'll be good, because I think Michael Fassbender, he looked kind of like Altair, if anything, whatever. So
he could play it, and I'm kind of with you, but. They could maybe throw in, like, maybe at the end, to keep them, if they're going to do multiple movies, throw in the stuff with the whole machine and stuff.
Yeah, see, I don't want that, because I just want one good video game movie, and I see them fucking that up, or whatever, so much.
Well, if we
the games are fucking it up in a way, whatever, now, whatever. At least in the third one they did, whatever, so I don't want them following.
Was that was Brotherhood, right?
No, it's Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay, Brotherhood is 4?
No, Brotherhood was before that one.
So 2.
No. There is Assassin's Creed 2, then Brotherhood, then Revelations, then Assassin's Creed 3.
Okay. So they're okay. But Assassin's Creed's probably, hopefully it breaks the trend, because we're both fans of the game, and that could be made into a very simple movie if they go the simple route, which they probably won't.
Alright, last comment here. My Little Sale. If I'm pronouncing that right. He says, what would you guys have done with this $30 million budget to make a Mortal Kombat film? I make a good movie. That's what I would do.
I don't really know what to really how to make it. Man, that's a tough one.
Oh, that's fucking easy. Whatever. I told you, just take all that fucking sci-fi shit out of it. That's why I told you I wouldn't want them to do that with Assassin's Creed or whatever. They went way over the board with that shit in this movie. Whatever. As far as like, just make it a simple fighting game. Two people beating the shit out of each other. Okay.
Have a real tournament.
I honestly think they overcomplicated the fucking movie. Like, there's really nothing to this fucking game, and Aiden took this movie and turned it into something else.
I mean, is that always asking, is if we had $30 million, what would we do with it? I'd have better actors. I mean, do you think if Brandon Lee was still alive, do you think he would have been Liu Kang?
Oh, hell no. He probably looked at this and been like, I don't want to do that shit. Are you serious? I don't know. Maybe he would have. I don't know. Could have.
Given the right script.
Yeah, he probably would saw this and been like, what? You want me to do what?
That's insulting my fucking karate.
Exactly. You know, it ain't even so much actors. Well, it is the actors at one point because the script wants them to talk so much, whatever. But in my movie, they barely would be fucking talking. They would be fighting.
Mm-hmm. I would give more fucking time to Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. I would make them like the head honchos you'd have to fight at the end of the tournament or something like that. Whatever.
Make them the top ones.
Yeah, like
interesting.
Like you'd have to in order to get past to the main boss or something like that. Whatever. Whoever you want to be the boss or whatever, you have to get through Sub-Zero and Scorpion and like a team up fight or whatever.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. Because like in the later Mortal Kombat games, they like do like tag team fights or whatever and shit. Mm-hmm. So they did something like that, whatever. If you want to copy from the game, whatever. But no, they didn't take this shit and
they made it like an adventure movie.
Exactly. They needed someone to come in here and it's like, what in the fuck are you doing? Or whatever. I'm trying to copy the game. There's nothing to copy from the game. It's just two people beating the shit out of each other from the game. There's nothing to this game, whatever. So that's why I think will get a hold of something, whatever. They overcomplicate things, and that's once again why I didn't want them. I don't want them to do the whole future thing with Assassin's Creed or anything like that, because I think that might get a little into over their heads, and I don't think they would know how to handle it. And I think they might fuck that game. Like that might ruin the whole vibe of the movie, or whatever. So just keep it simple. And when you want to go on for future stuff, then you know what? If you got someone that actually worked on the fucking game, that's probably would be the first thing I would do. Is I'd hire somebody that actually worked on the fucking game. That way I ain't gotta go to Walmart to get these cheap ass actors some costumes.
Or the Halloween store.
Yeah, the Party City store. So
I would have made, I would at least put some budget, not like, you know, thousands of dollars into the CGI to make Mentaro. At least Goro looked a little better. You gotta think, you're making a sequel to a movie. The sequel's supposed to outdo the first one.
Yeah.
And this one pretty much shit on the first one.
I would have took the money and put more into the effects of, like, your characters like Raiden, Sub-Zero, and Scorpion and shit to make their powers look cool.
Yeah, or instead of Raiden jumping out of thin air.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't even put Mataro and all them in there or whatever and shit, because obviously it looks bad, first of all. Second of all, whatever, it looked like a lot of money would probably go into that shit, whatever. I would keep it on the simple human characters that I have, or human look-alike characters that I have, and just put the money in towards their powers.
And wasn't Raiden, didn't he always have, like, his hat? Didn't it always cover his face so you couldn't really see his face?
Yeah.
So he's supposed to be like, or was that his brother in the game?
No, that was really Raiden.
That was Raiden?
There was an alternative costume in the game, whatever, where he could turn into that shit, but at the same time, nobody played as that motherfucker. He had the hat, goddamn it, give him the hat.
I would throw in every character from the current game and put time and effort into making them what they are.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have monster creations, whatever. I would have just kept the human look-alike character and just made it the tournament, whatever, to be honest.
No Mentaro, no Goro. No.
Especially if my budget's only $30 million. No way. I'm not doing that. No. I'm gonna keep it simple, whatever, and I'm gonna make what I have look good or whatever. I'm not gonna go all out and put all this futuristic shit going on or supposedly futuristic apocalypse world ending shit or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do all that.
Okay. That's fair enough. I mean they're doing the right thing. I think the current Mortal Kombat YouTube thing, I think it's on a very small budget. But they're focusing, like what you're saying, on the human aspect.
Yeah, keep it simple, whatever. Honestly, people are tired of seeing simple things, but at the same time, whatever, at this point, we got so many, like you said, we got so many fucking bad video games showing. If they would just keep it fucking simple, because I'm sorry, with these video game movies, they go all over the place now. It's like, they are really trying to copy what's from the video game. They need to understand that the video game and the movie are two different media. Is we don't give a fuck what happens or whatever, as long as some shit that we're enjoying or whatever. But in movies, you actually need a cohesive story to follow along with, or you're not gonna understand what a goddamn thing that's going on. So,
and look at like Street Fighter game. That's a fighting game like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
they completely
turned that into a fucking, what was that, global, not a global, but like a worldwide terrorist attack or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like Bison was this huge terrorist. I'm like, I don't remember that part of his backstory.
He's a terrorist. Jesus Christ. And it's up to American, was Guile even American in that movie, first of all?
Oh, no, he was not American in that movie.
He's gonna be all you can be an American, or whatever. I think in the movie
he was a G.I. Joe, pretty much.
He was a British soldier in the movie, wasn't he? Because I don't remember seeing an American. You know what? He did have an American flag tattoo, but I
well, so did the character in the game. But it's you got Van Damme playing an American character.
Yeah, but the character in the game, in fact, was American. But I swear the costumes or the military suits they were wearing didn't look American. So I was thinking, like, what is that?
I think it was UN. I think that's because.
Okay, see, they didn't fuck that up.
And didn't Tekken was a fighting game, didn't they fuck that up too?
Oh, man. At least Street Fighter got the animation right on the animated movies.
Yeah, but if you guys, like you said, play it small, have the human aspect. You can give Sub-Zero his freezing power and Scorpion his, and give them their powers, but just focus on the humans. You don't need Baraka.
I would have made something like you said, focus on the humans, and then Sub-Zero and Scorpion in the final fights or whatever, the tournament, and they're the ones with the powers, whatever, and you see this shit, and it's something new to you or whatever, and stuff, and I would have put the money in most of it in that, and I would have made them effects look fucking damn near perfect or whatever.
Yeah, and give Sub-Zero and Scorpion more than one fucking fight.
Yeah, exactly. I would have, I would have probably had Raiden, like, the leader or something. I don't know. I would have did something with him. I would have did something cool with him.
Instead of him having a bitch and has to get a haircut to be human.
Fucking buzz cut looking like he was fucking Guile from Street Fighter and shit. So. Oh my god,
they mixed two movies into one.
Oh shit. I thought that was Guile. Oh fuck. Oh fuck. Well, people, it is that time of the end of the show, but hey, I got one more news for you, whatever. People, Podcast Awards. you know what? We're a finalist. We've been nominated. We're a finalist. So you know what, people? You know what you need to do? You need to go to podcastawards.com is what you need to do. You need to scroll your ass right on down, whatever. You click on movie spoilers. You type a little email in there, put your name and all that, put your listener, and then you put this in the damn comment section, because I've been telling people dudes that they've been doing it. Best podcast in the world. Put that in the comment section.
I put listen to movie spoilers gets me a hard on.
Damn. That's
dedication. No, make sure you put your name and email, and then go to your email and make sure you verify your votes.
They've been fucking me over on that one, dude. I've been swearing. I don't get those emails. I don't know how it is for everybody else, but for me, I get them.
As soon as I vote, I go straight to that email.
Well, you know, I got an iPhone, so I got the email account set up, whatever, and I go straight to the email, too, whatever, and then I look at it. I don't get it till like, fucking nighttime, and I look at the time that it was sent. It say, like, 11 o'clock at night or something. I'm like, motherfucker, you know goddamn well I'm out drinking or something like that. they must know that, because obviously I have to register as, like, you know, the person of this show or whatever. They must know that. We're going to fuck with him.
Well, it says some accounts might have to verify, so maybe it doesn't have to work all the time, but I'm guessing that you have to verify to have your vote count, and hopefully the other shows don't tell people to do that, and they completely forget. And then we're the only ones that got votes. In a landslide with the only votes ever.
Oh, but yeah, you know what, that's why I was in Vegas, whatever. I gave out a lot of shit. I was talking to tons of people about that shit, whatever, because everybody knew exactly. It's funny, that thing is coming up in 2 months, whatever, and not a single fucking person knew about that shit at all.
The deadline is this Friday.
Well, it's like you said, voting ends this Friday, so people, so cast us in the votes you can, or whatever, so we can win this thing, and we can take it home, whatever, and bring it home to Movie Spoiler Studios and lick the tears off Corey's black-ass Negro face. I mean, and win. So, once again, this is another episode of Throwback. I'm the phenomenal one, MoviesPostPodcast.com.
This is Z, thefancritic.com.
And we'll catch you guys next Tuesday.
See ya.
Later, bastards.
Expected something, something better than before. We expected something more. Do you really think you can just put it in a safe behind a painting, lock it up and leave? Do you really think you can just put it in a safe behind a painting, lock it up and leave?